The Bon Ton stores can trace their origins back to horse and buggy days, 1854. It's one of the country's largest department store chains, with one of its headquarters in downtown Milwaukee, and it will be closing. A bankruptcy court judge approved the liquidation last week. We're talking about it on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The going-out-of-business sales for Boston store, Yonkers, and other Bon Ton stores under the company umbrella, they all started Friday. Let's bring in Felicia Miller for analysis. She's an associate professor of marketing and chair of the marketing department at Marquette University, which, by the way, is a stone's throw from the Bon Ton Milwaukee headquarters, less than a mile down Wisconsin Avenue. Felicia, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so first off, what was your reaction to this announcement, and where do you see this right now, this liquidation?
I was not surprised that Bon Ton was having problems maintaining their financial footing. It is surprising to see such a large chain completely liquidate, all stores everywhere going away. So that was a bit surprising to me.
Well, this has been going on now for a while. They've named it, coined the term retail apocalypse. We just got word Toys R Us is going down this road. So what's actually happening here in 2018?
What we're seeing is the natural evolution of the retail industry. Every, 5-10 years, you see new innovations, new opportunities, new consumer needs that require retailers to change the way that they do business. And inevitably, there's going to be those who are able to adapt quickly and innovate and provide new things that will attract consumers. And there will always be those who can't and just simply cannot go forward in this new environment.
And this retail category, it's very, very broad. Is it unfair to lump all types of retail together?
I think it is. I think it is. Part of the retail evolution is the emergence of new types of retail opportunities. So, for example, Amazon started out selling mostly books. And now they sell everything, from shoes to clothes to food and everything in between. And so we're going to continue to see these new players come, and they're very different than what we've seen in the past. And that's just the reality and, frankly, the good news for consumers.
So when we look at these bankruptcy filings, did Bon Ton give us some insight as to what was happening inside this department store chain?
I think the fact that they have struggled to maintain such a broad range of brands, they really have 6 different brands under the Bon Ton flagship. I think that should have been a warning for them and for anyone else, because that's a very difficult business model to maintain.
And they have Yonkers, they have Boston store, they have a number of other Carsons. So, yeah, there is a lot of different names under this Bon Ton umbrella. Is that a difficult proposition then for businesses to be able to keep their identity and yet have a whole range of names?
It's not only difficult to maintain that identity. I mean, they really have different footprints in different states, different parts of the country, but it's really inefficient. It's really expensive to maintain branding and store sets and, marketing and advertising for that many different titles. It's just really unheard of in the retail market to see a store that essentially sells the same thing, it's just under a different brand. There are lots of companies that own multiple stores, like, Gap and Banana Republic are owned by the same company, but they're very different stores. They offer different types of products. They cater to a different consumer. Bon Ton's problem is their stores are essentially selling the same things to the same people, and it doesn't really justify having, a different brand.
We're talking with Felicia Miller. She's an associate professor of marketing, chairs the marketing department at Marquette University. We're exploring what the liquidation of Bon-Ton stores means for not only Wisconsin, but the greater retail landscape. Bon-Ton having a significant footprint right here in Wisconsin, which with its merchandising headquarters based in downtown Milwaukee. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the news that Bon-Ton and its affiliated stores will be closing for good? Do you work at Bon-Ton? If so, what does this situation mean for you, your circumstances? Are the days of the department store numbered at this point? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Felicia, Bon-Ton had sought a buyer that would have kept its stores in business. And for a while, it seemed like one was going to materialize, but then it didn't pan out. And the only two bids to come in to bankruptcy court were ones for liquidation. So why do you think there wasn't an interest in somebody stepping it up and purchasing this company?
I think most of the experts on the buying side, the developers, sort of saw the same thing. You know, this is a company that's been around 160 years and hasn't really evolved or innovated in the way that we see more successful stores at this time. And I think it was a highly risky situation for someone to step in and try to save it. The scope of the brand across numerous states and multiple stores in every state, I just think it was not an attractive offering that had high odds of success.
And even if another department store retailer had wanted to step in and, you know, grow its footprint, a number of those stores are just down the street or perhaps in the same retail neighborhood like a Macy's.
Yeah, right. And I'm speculating here, but I think even if the mall group that was interested in purchasing the Boston store Bon-Ton interest, they would have had to do some major consolidation. It would have meant closing a lot of stores, people losing their jobs anyway, just to keep the business viable. Because going forward in its current format, I don't think was an option for anyone.
And the numbers are pretty painful. More than 2,200 Wisconsin employees will lose their jobs, including 700 at Bon-Ton's downtown Milwaukee co-headquarters. The rest basically stem for the closure of the state's 29 Bon-Ton locations. How big of a hit is this to Wisconsin's economy?
It is going to be a very big impact on the economy at many levels. You mentioned, you know, the individuals and the families that are going to be impacted because these people are going to lose their jobs. But it's going to have a carryover effect to other interests. Frankly, for some communities, Boston store may have been, you know, the most accessible retailer for them. And they're going to have to find other places to shop. Also, we're going to see, you know, the smaller stores that are in the malls where Boston store is an anchor store, they're going to struggle. Their rents are likely going to go up because you don't have a big anchor store anymore. The foot traffic in the mall is going to go down because there isn't that draw to come to a Boston store. And so, you know, those stores are likely in jeopardy as well. Because they are going to struggle to maintain their consumer base without, you know, a big anchor store.
Right. And then after the liquidation ends in the next couple few months, you have an empty building, a carcass on a retail lot. How do you reconcile with that?
Here's where the opportunity for innovation comes in. We've seen some different formats. Here in Wisconsin, we've seen the Mayfair collection, the Burleigh collection, places that look very different than a traditional mall with, you know, two or three anchor stores and a bunch of stores in between. Retail is moving towards sort of a multi-purpose model where you not only have shopping, but you also have entertainment. You have restaurants, you have bars, you have movie theaters, you have other things that will draw people to that space so that you can keep, you know, a fairly robust foot traffic that will support all of those things.
Bon-Ton said in its February bankruptcy court filing that e-commerce was the main culprit leading to its downfall. The company also said it's getting squeezed by anchor store competitors like JCPenney, like Kohl's. We're talking about the fall of Bon-Ton stores, what it means to Wisconsin's economy and the retail landscape as a whole on The Morning Show. Felicia Miller is with us. She's an associate professor of marketing at Marquette University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to the Bon-Ton news? Do you work there? If so, what does this situation mean for you? Are the days of department stores numbered? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update on the Ideas Network. A group of liquidators and creditors bought Bon-Ton out of bankruptcy for almost $800 million in an auction that ended early last week. The store closing sales are underway, and they're expected to last for 3 months at most, and then there will be the vacant storefronts. More than 200 stores are closing, including furniture galleries. We're talking about what the Bon-Ton fall means to Wisconsin's economy here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. More than 2,200 people in the state are employed by the company, which splits its headquarters between York, Pennsylvania, and Milwaukee. Felicia Miller is taking this all in as an associate professor of marketing and chair of the marketing department at Marquette. You can join in with your questions, your experiences at 800-642-1234. With so many retail chains going under in the last year or so, how are you feeling about the future of retail, commerce, and shopping? What are your habits? Where do you go to buy and why? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Felicia, Jacob in Verona emailed and says, what role does Amazon really play? I try to buy local, but Amazon is so convenient and they have items I can't find locally. Going to the mall is a pain and it takes time, and I would rather spend that time doing other things. What would you say to Jacob?
I would tell Jacob, you know, he's like millions of other consumers who are struggling between supporting their local stores and taking advantage of the convenience and, you know, prices that Amazon can offer. I would say, though, Amazon has been around for a while now. They started out selling books, and now they sell everything. And some stores have been able to adapt and compete. Walmart has done a great job of building out their internet capabilities. Kohl's is starting to catch up. They're doing a better job in that space. And it's the reality of, you know, being able to stay competitive. You have to do these things. The stores that just simply haven't done it have done so to their peril, and it's unfortunate because once you build that infrastructure, you really can compete with Amazon. I mean, they're at a whole different level than most retailers, but it is possible, and frankly, it's necessary at this point to do it. So I think it's a little bit a little disingenuous to blame it all on Amazon. Because there's certainly things that companies should be doing just to provide better service for their customers.
But should Bon-Ton have been thinking about that and taking those steps years ago?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen in the last 5-6 Christmas seasons, you know, the huge effect that Amazon has on Christmas shopping. And so this is not a new phenomenon that, you know, is a surprise. The hard part for a large enterprise like Bon-Ton, though, is how to even get started and where to have the money to be able to invest. It's a major infrastructure change for most companies if you didn't have an online system in place. And so to make the choice to say we're going to invest, you know, what could be hundreds of millions of dollars just to get this thing up and going, is a difficult task for most retailers.
And while Bon-Ton had a retail presence in Madison and Milwaukee, still does, most of their Wisconsin locations, though, tended to be in smaller towns or more rural areas. And looking over that list of store closures, seeing communities like Plover, Marinette, Sturgeon Bay, Rice Lake, and that's just a few there. Does the loss of a major department store hit smaller communities harder than the larger ones?
Oh, sure. It absolutely does in a number of ways. Obviously, that takes away those shopping options, and those individuals will have to travel further to get things if they want to get them at a brick-and-mortar store. They may also be faced with having to go to an online retailer like an Amazon or online versions of, you know, at Macy's or Kohl's or somewhere else to get the things that they need. But it also changes the community. When you don't have a thriving mall or you don't have, you know, a major retailer in your community, it sort of sends a signal to developers and perhaps even people who are interested in moving to that area that perhaps this is not, you know, a good place for them to put down roots.
And a lot of observers will now turn their gaze to what happens to Kohl's, Macy's, JCPenney, Sears just is doing a scaled-down remodel and also closing many locations. So is the writing on the wall for these chains, or is it too hard to say at this point, or does it really go case by case?
It really is case by case, and the difference is going to be, you know, the level of investment to, you know, recreate the stores. In many cases, that's going to be smaller stores, fewer stores. There's some areas where it, you know, financially is just not viable to maintain stores. So you're going to, there's by definition going to be some consolidation. Going back a few years, I mean, Macy's bought up a lot of their competitors and then closed a lot of stores. And that's what has helped them at least get back on some stable financial footing and, you know, to go forward competing with, you know, the major retailers out there. But that's a, you know, expensive and time-consuming enterprise. So for stores who didn't do that 5, 6, 7 years ago, they're really playing catch-up, and it's difficult to see what their future is going to be.
And can these stores even actually adapt in the first place? Are their infrastructures that nimble enough, their staffing that able to make the changes that the consumers want, which sounds like they want things at their door?
It is going to be difficult for most. We've seen JCPenney's and Sears struggle for years to try to make these kinds of changes. And for some companies, it's just not in their DNA. Many enterprises bring in new leadership to get a new perspective, and that can certainly help. But you have to be committed as a company, you know, for a long and difficult path if you're trying to catch up with these companies that have, you know, been on this path for a number of years.
We're talking with Felicia Miller about the closure of Bon-Ton stores, what it means to Wisconsin's economy, what it means to retail in general. She is an associate professor of marketing and chairs the marketing department at Marquette University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you anticipate you'll be laid off soon by your retail work? What will you miss? What are you worried about? How has brick-and-mortar shopping changed for you? What ways have you changed as you go about purchasing things? Do you think as to where you will go or what you will do as you look for items? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Tom now, joining us from Burlington. Good morning, Tom.
I wanted to know, what is the government doing? What is Governor Walker doing to help keep these jobs that are affecting all these little towns, and we've given Foxconn $4 billion to come in here on a poke and a promise, and now we have these established businesses. What role does government play in it, or should we get some kind of program to help these companies in the in the future. A friend of mine is losing her job, as a matter of fact.
Tom, thanks so much for the call. Felicia, what has been the response from the Walker administration?
I am not aware that there has been a response. And frankly, I think one of the larger issues we're facing is in Wisconsin is having the right talent for the jobs that we do have available, trying to find, you know, Foxconn, but also other just enterprises. I consult with a number of smaller businesses, accounting firms, finance firms, different organizations, and they're struggling to find people to hire to fill the vacancies they have. So that's really the only perspective I can offer in that regard.
Let's go to Frank now, joining us from Onalaska. Hi, Frank.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So one thing that I find a failure of the media to address is one of the underlying problems of all of these retail organizations beyond, you know, the competition of e-commerce is the strategy of Wall Street investors to buy up retail companies like Bon-Ton, to buy up Toys R Us, and to borrow heavily and load them up with interest payments on their debt and take the money out in the form of dividend payments, and eventually drives the company into bankruptcy because the revenue there just to service the debt. And the famous example there with Toys R Us is Bain Capital, which some people will recall was Romney's initial investment in terms of the strategy. And I believe in terms of Bon-Ton, if you look a little further as to who the investors are that own the company or bought it up, you'll find a similar example. And so the media doesn't seem to be addressing this at all. I don't think it's that complicated. So just a comment from the expert on that.
Yeah, Frank, thank you so much. It is creditors and the liquidators who came to interest here in bankruptcy court. Felicia?
Yes, and I would say there are larger macroeconomic factors that are at play here. Retail has been a viable source for investments for publicly traded companies, and whether they're doing well or not, they continue to be the target of large companies to add to their portfolio in the event that they do well. They make money for those enterprises. And in the cases like Bon-Ton where they don't, they still have a financial value. So we do see them oftentimes being traded and moved between portfolios the same way you would see, you know, stock for an individual company.
And a number of people have in their own personal portfolios real estate investment trusts. And so we might personally have more at stake here as well. What happens to the portfolios of, say, large retail shopping centers like Simon Group, for instance?
Those are the types of individuals who had an interest in sort of maintaining this Bon-Ton portfolio. And I think just like you and I might look at our individual portfolio of holdings, you have to make choices of when to buy, when to sell, and so forth. And so it's a very different model than we would have seen, you know, in the early days of Bon-Ton's or Macy's or any of these other enterprises. They not only have to think about their consumers and getting people in the stores, but they also have to think about their balance sheets and their earnings, because they are financial entities that individuals, you know, want to invest in and are looking to get a return on their investment.
I was looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers came out for April, and it showed this category as a whole doing quite well. And I was curious as to what's going on there, because we have seen so many layoffs and liquidations. And it looks like this is a category that also lumps in gas stations, restaurants. So very broadly, the category is doing well. But then when you look at the granular level, that's when you see the huge amount of jobs that are going away in the retail sector. Is that right?
That's right. And what you're seeing is, unfortunately, the winners versus the losers. So for those enterprises that aren't able to maintain, you know, a stable financial position, they're leaving the market. which creates opportunities for those who have invested in infrastructure, who have invested in hiring, to upgrading their technology, to providing new offerings for consumers. They're really doing well because there's this whole pool of consumers whose primary shopping outlets, be it gas stations, grocery stores, restaurants, or department stores, they now are funneling to those other companies that are doing well, and they're seeing, you know, an uptick in sales and foot traffic and overall profits.
So when Toys R Us went down this avenue, there was a lot of interest in the name Toys R Us. Is there any interest in Bon-Ton or its names of its stores like Yonkers, Boston Store, and Herberger's?
My opinion is because the Bon-Ton company has multiple brands in multiple states, that the appeal is really local. You know, we know Boston Store here in Wisconsin, but to try to take that brand and plant it in another geography would be a very costly endeavor. That's part of the downside of the Boston Store Bon-Ton model. So I don't think we would see that that happen.
Wisconsin has a pretty large stake in the retail sector with Kohl's, Land's End, et cetera. What are you telling your students right now about jobs in retail in terms of merchandising and going into the corporate side of things?
Well, I still think that retail is a viable place, particularly for undergraduate marketing students, but the jobs are very different. We have relationships with a number of retailers, including Kohl's, who are looking for students who can help them with retail analytics. If you've ever shopped at Boston Store, you know there's Kohl's cash days, there's days you get coupons, there's, you know, different days when things are on sale. All that data from what consumers buy and when they buy it helps retailers figure out, you know, what's the right price for this? What days should we give Kohl's cash? How much money should we give on those days? And that's where the jobs are. We're really encouraging our students to upgrade their analytics skills because those are very strong jobs that are not going away anytime soon.
And analytics also means that we're giving information about our personal selves to the company. And a lot of people are really reluctant in these days to give out their email, give out their phone number, give out their zip code at the checkout.
It's a choice consumers have to weigh. The benefits are certainly you get more coupons, you get, you know, better pricing on things, you get access to information that other consumers don't, but there is a privacy concern. I mean, we just saw, you know, this major issue happening over at Facebook, and it should, for everyone, you know, make us pause and think about, you know, when we do give out that information, what are the risks?
Brick-and-mortar retailers have faced growing pressure from internet sales. Besides Bon-Ton, there's Toys R Us that is in the throes of bankruptcy and liquidation. We're talking about Bon-Ton's exit from the rough retail environment here on The Morning Show. Some headlines call it a retail apocalypse. Felicia Miller is here with insights. She is a marketing professor, chairs the marketing department at Marquette University. You can bring your stories, your questions at 800-642-1234. Will you be laid off soon by your retail work? What will you miss about it? How has it impacted your family? What are you worried about? How has brick and mortar shopping changed for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network. Bon-Ton operates department stores in 23 states under the brand names of Bon-Ton, Boston Store, Carson's, Yonkers, and other names you may be familiar with in your town. It filed for bankruptcy in February in the hopes of restructuring its debt. That didn't pan out. About 24,000 Bon-Ton jobs will disappear over the next few months. We're talking about it on The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Chir-Kent. The retail sector is the second largest employer in the U.S. with 15.7 million jobs. Felicia Miller keeps an eye on this sector as an associate professor of marketing and department chair at Marquette University, gathering your insights as well at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to Bon-Ton going out of business? Do you work at Bon-Ton? If so, what does this situation mean for you? Will you miss these stores or not so much? Will you notice? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Joe, who is waiting in Waukesha. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I really see these what's going on now in this country has been going on for a long time. In other words, the official unemployment statistics are somewhere between 4 and 5%. I think this is voodoo calculations. Because if you look at the number of people who have given up finding jobs and issues, other issues as well, and also the lack of the media coverage, it's probably the unemployment rate is probably closer to 12 to 15% if the government were obviously being honest with the statistics. The issue, of course, comes down to, as it usually does, to the stockholders and what interests the corporations have. They couldn't give a damn about employees as far as what they do. And the other issue, as was mentioned earlier, is the media in this country. I mean, it's owned by a handful of corporations. They tell people what they want to tell them. And essentially, that's a major factor in this lack of accurate statistics as far as unemployment rates.
Joe, thanks. Felicia, and piggybacking off of what Joe is saying here with employment statistics, a number of these jobs at Bon-Ton stores are part-time jobs. They're not full-time. They're retail clerk jobs.
I think what we're seeing is a shift in what from specifically around department stores and other large enterprises like that. We're seeing a shift, certainly from full-time to part-time, more seasonal jobs. And as I mentioned before, where we're seeing a growth in jobs are in more specialty or specific technical skills type jobs. And we're really struggling in Wisconsin, I can say for certainly, we're struggling to provide the skilled workers that we need for those jobs. So to Joe's point, the numbers are a bit obscure in terms of figuring out what's going on because there are certain sectors where there's a flush of people who need jobs and can't find them, and then other sectors where people, you know, they want more people, but they're just not people that have the skill set for those jobs. So we're a little bit out of sync with the trends in terms of job needs versus job losses. And certainly going back to the retail environment, that's definitely a place where we're seeing unemployment numbers going up because that's seasonal work, not necessarily skilled labor. People who are moving from job to job maybe every 6 months, every year, not necessarily stable employment, where these other jobs go unfilled. So we're a little bit out of sync with what our needs are in terms of talent development versus where the jobs are.
Felicia, take us on a walk through a Bon-Ton store in the sense of what you see is perhaps really outdated from the, I don't know, maybe it's the cosmetic counters, perhaps it is merchandising that's really packed tight, rack after rack. What do you see from a merchandising perspective?
I think the biggest problem that Bon-Ton has, and this is across the various brands, is the merchandise that they're offering is not really distinct versus what you could get at Macy's or in some cases even at Kohl's. Part of the retail upheaval that we're seeing is not only about online, it's not only about, you know, where the store is located or the branding even, it's about what the store offers the consumer. And if a store like Boston store is offering pretty much the same thing that Macy's offers, but, you know, Macy's has, you know, something else that draws consumers to their stores, well, that's where consumers are going to, that's where they're going to go. So I think differentiation is really at the core of why Bon-Ton stores have struggled, because they're sort of, you know, fallen into the Me Too kind of category that's difficult to draw consumers to.
What about smaller labels, smaller lines of clothing? Will they suffer from this?
Well, there's two pieces there. Bon-Ton sells a lot of other brands. They have some of their own, you know, store-branded stuff, but they sell, you know, designer lines like Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade, other, you know, high-end and mid-level brands as well, and that's certainly going to affect them, that all of these stores are going to go away and no longer be an outlet for them to sell their products. But I think this is a real opportunity for smaller retail stores, clothing, shoes, and so forth. We see, you know, those stores are doing pretty well, primarily because they're very focused. The things that they offer consumers are things that consumers can't necessarily easily find in other places. Now, that's a risk because you've created, you know, a constraint around what you offer to the consumer. But if you're really in touch with what your consumer wants, and you're providing that, you're going to do well in this environment.
What will these closures mean to the job market for teenagers and for adults who had wanted part-time entry-level jobs or even seasonal work?
That has been a challenge, you know, since the, you know, latest downturn in the economy, where you saw adults competing with, you know, 16-year-olds for summer jobs or part-time jobs. And I think with the loss of all of these jobs across the Bon-Ton company, you're going to see a flood of people going into the market who are looking to replace that retail job that they had. And not only are they going to compete with teenagers, but they're also going to find there's just not enough opportunities out there to absorb all of these people. Hopefully, you know, they have other skill sets that they can translate into other positions, but there's certainly not enough retail demand, certainly in Wisconsin, to absorb, you know, all of those folks who are going to now be looking for new jobs.
Let's bring in Joanne joining us from Hudson. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning. See, my comment is I got frustrated shopping at Herberger's because they would have all these coupons in the paper. And then you'd go to the store, and then they would tell you, oh, that coupon doesn't work on that. Oh, that coupon doesn't work on that. Or if you go to Kohl's, you have their coupon, and it works on virtually everything. There's no distinction. And that was frustrating, so that's why I quit shopping at Herberger's.
Joanne, thanks for that comment. Felicia, what do you make of that?
I think Joanne's experience is the same that I've had, that many, many people have had. Kohl's has invested a great deal not only in their technology and their infrastructure, but also in hiring smart people who can help them have a very seamless, very easy promotional system, be it, you know, through their ads, through the things that they send to people's email, through their app, through Kohl's Cash in the store. They've made it very easy for consumers. And that's another factor that plays into who's successful and who's not in this market. You've not only got to provide a good product, you've got to be located where consumers want you, but they want ease of shopping. And frankly, if you compare it, you know, with online where you just click and order, that's a high bar for a lot of companies to compete with.
Joanne, thanks for the call. Felicia, what else are you watching for here as this retail landscape continues to evolve this year?
A couple of things. At the state level in Wisconsin, I think we really have to take a step back and reimagine retail for our state. With Bon-Ton leaving, it's going to be a major challenge, but it's also a major opportunity to do some innovative retail development across the state, particularly in these communities that won't have easy access anymore. On the larger level, globally, frankly, I think we're going to continue to see more and more of the online presence in unexpected places, small enterprises, large and medium sized. We're going to see more investment because that's the direction we're going. But I think in the next 5 years, we'll get more surprises. We'll see other things happening that will challenge the existing companies, but also give life to a whole new segment of the retail sector.
And as we start to wrap up here, how do you reimagine a retail development, something that's been there perhaps years, decades, in Bonton's case, going back to horse and buggy days?
I think it's going to take, you know, sort of a new generation of retail professionals to see what it could be. I mean, just taking Grand Avenue, for example, which is anchored to the Bonton's headquarter, it's a beautiful space. It's a great location. It's just been severely underdeveloped for years. I've lived here 12, 13 years. That space has so much potential, and so hopefully someone with a great deal of creativity and innovation will come in and reimagine that space, not as a, you know, 2-3-story endeavor, but something that feels very different and perhaps, you know, taps into some of the things that are going on the south side of the city in Walker's Point and Third Ward. You know, how do you expand that and incorporate some of that innovation into the downtown sector?
Well, Felicia, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Felicia Miller is an associate professor of marketing and department chair at Marquette University. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina and Ideas Network director Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation is on the Ideas Network.